Scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Galatians in the New Testament. We're in Galatians chapter 6. And we'll begin the reading in verse 1 and continue on through the end of that 6th chapter. Let us hear God's word. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something, but they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted. Cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. If they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but it counts. New creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. May God bless our understanding of this reading from His word, and to Him be all praise and honor and glory, now and always. About 2 weeks ago, I had a chance to do something that was different and fun. I was invited to be part of an academic conference, a colloquium that was originally scheduled to be a live conference in Indiana, and had to be moved to an online format. And when they did that, they said, hey, Bruce, would it be all right if we did a whole new section for this academic conference just on the academic journal that you're the general editor of, which is Saints of the CS Lewis. Sure, that sounds like a great thing to do. Be a lot of fun. So we were on a Zoom meeting for this academic conference. There were about 60 or more people from North America and from Britain. We had different professors, different academic writers, and we had students, undergraduate students, graduate students, PhD students, all together at this conference. It was really a lot of fun. And after we talked about ideas and imagination. The person that was moderating this discussion, he turned and started asking some of the students, well, how are you doing? And some of them had exciting things to share. But then those who were about to graduate said, it's really a tough job market. And they began telling their own stories. And there is this shift in the atmosphere of all of us who are on this Zoom meeting. We were involved in the world of the mind, and all of a sudden we're going to switch to the word, the world of the heart, and just caring for people, and hearing their stories, and showing compassion, and many of us offering to pray for them. It's a very important and appropriate shift in the whole tone of the meeting. Well, that is something like what's going on in the book of Galatians. When we get to Galatians chapter 6, we have a turn to very practical advice. Start to see that turn to practical advice, ethical instructions in chapter 5, and it continues in chapter 6. And then there's personal greetings, and it ends with a blessing. Now, this is the kind of form that letters took 2,000 years ago, whether it was a Christian letter or a secular letter. Thank you. his wife, Rhoda, and ask a false question. This is not a rhetorical question. This is a true question that I need to ask myself, and I invite you to ask of yourself. Is the time-consuming and risky process of restoring imperfect people worth it? Now, obviously, Jesus' time was worth it. That's why he came to earth and died on a cross for us. But do I think it's worth it today? Am I open to that time-consuming and risky process of helping somebody find wholeness? And are you open to that today? To say, yes, today I will again decide that it is worth it to put in that time and effort, because helping somebody else gain spiritual wholeness is wonderful. So Paul counsels us to pursue goodness and endurance among imperfect people. He also counsels us to pursue goodness and doing good to one another, especially to those who are our brothers and sisters in the faith. First, he says that we should show compassion to one another. He says, tear each other's burdens, and this way fulfill the law of Christ. When I was a young man in my 20s, 21 at the time, I was put in charge of a hike of adults. There are adults and people in their 20s. The oldest person was about 68, which doesn't sound too old to me right now, but back when I was 21, it sounded like a very old age indeed. And we were 7 miles into this hike through the Judean wilderness. We were hiking down to Jericho, taking a route of the Good Samaritan down into Jericho, kind of the reverse route of the Good Samaritan was walking up. And 7 miles through this hike, the oldest person on the hike stumbled. And he either sprained his ankle or broke his ankle, but it was clear he couldn't walk on it. And we were in the middle of the desert and ran 3 miles to go until we could get help. And very quickly, we had to figure out a way how we were going to bury the burden of this man, the physical burden, carrying him away. And how we were going to organize that for 3 miles. How are we going to find enough strength among us to do that? It was a very scary experience for me. But we made it through. It all turned out well. The man had sprained his ankle, not broken it. But that's an example for me that sometimes we really do need to bear one another's burdens. People that work in small groups, they call this bearing one another's burdens in an emotional sense, right? A spiritual sense, working with EGRs, extra grace-required people. In any small group, people with half a dozen or more people, if you're committing to different Bible study or prayer or project, there may be somebody going through a personal crisis. And if so, they are an EGR. They take a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to help them. But we are to show compassion. We are to put in the effort for people that need our help. We are to show compassion at the same time. Show responsibility for our own spiritual lives. He says each of you should test your own actions. Each should carry their own load. Again, you can think of a hike, you know, if you're going on a hike out here in the beautiful desert wilderness, the Sonoran Desert, you know that you have to carry water. And when you're on a hike, everybody carries their own water, their own bottled water, their own canteen. That's kind of a rule, that's a basic thing, because I can't physically carry water for 2 or 3 people. Everybody should carry their own load. And Paul says that in a spiritual way, we should all be making sure that we are doing those things for our own spiritual nurture. We should all be in daily prayer. We should all be having time in scripture. We should all be trying to do good ourselves and not just depend on somebody else to read the Bible for us or somebody else to pray for us. We should show responsibility and compassion. And third, he says we should all show humility. If anyone thinks they have something when they have none, they deceive themselves. If you remember the movie, The Wizard of Oz, there was a turning point in that movie, not so much in the book, but much more so in the movie, when these three main characters, Dorothy and the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, where they all discovered that they have an imperfect understanding of who they themselves are. The Scarecrow isn't witless. You know, he can do some good thinking. lion is. Paul is talking about how cowardly he is. He shows courage at just the right moment. And Dorothy, all along, has had the ability to return home. They didn't really have a clear idea of who they are. And Paul, in several of his New Testament letters, comes back to this thing that we don't always have the right impression of who we are. Sometimes we take more of ourselves than we should. Sometimes we believe the rumors and think less of ourselves than we should. Paul later writes to a young pastor, Timothy, and says, don't let anything look down on you just because you're young. And then in another place, Paul says, each of us should use sober judgment when we think about who we are. Well, that's a tough thing to do. But we can try in all humility to have a clear and accurate picture of our abilities and our weaknesses too. We should be compassionate and responsible and humble. What is the state of my own heart and mind today when it comes to helping others do it? Before this, we talked about where am I in terms of thinking is restoration worth it? Here I want to talk more broadly or think more broadly in terms of just helping others. Where are you today? Where is your heart? Where's your compassion today? Where is your sense of taking care of yourself, your own self-responsibility in this? And do you have a clear idea of who you are, your abilities and your limits as you go to help somebody? Let's all try to have sober and right judgment as we go and show compassion to other people. And then he begins to wrap up what he wants to say in this series of ethical teaching. Begins to talk about things that are just good in themselves. It's kind of goodness for goodness' sake. He takes delight in different blessings that he sees around him. And the first thing he begins to talk about is how wonderful it is to learn about God, to go deeper with God. That's a wonderful thing. So he tells his friends, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. That sounds like a very nice statement about it, you know, encouraging your pastor, helping support your Bible study leader, and things like that. And then he follows it up with these words: do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. The man reaps what he sows, and then he begins to return to some of his earlier themes in Galatians, talking about the world of people who are bad teachers, who are false teachers. That's why having a good teacher, a good Bible study leader, a good prayer circle leader is so important. Because it helps us in our spiritual lives, so that's a good thing, and we should rejoice in that. Even as we remember that, gosh, we could have had some very bad people leading us, but God has blessed us with some good teachers, and learning is wonderful. Not only is learning wonderful, but steadfastness is wonderful. Steadfastness is keeping on the path of discipleship in Jesus Christ. He says, let us not become weary in doing good throughout the proper time, and we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. I come from a long line of farmers, and this is a picture of the farm we had in Southern California for the first dozen years of my life. Those are my two oldest brothers, Mark and Roger. They're there with harvesting native oranges on one brisk morning, I think, in January one year. My own brother, Eric, and I were also picking oranges that day, but we didn't get in the picture for some reason. I'm not sure that's why that is. But when you are on a farm or a ranch, you're always thinking about the harvest on the farm, or the calving season when you're a rancher. You're always thinking about that time when all of your hard work is going to come together. And when you're doing pruning in the orchards in the fall, when you are doing other things to mend the soil in other parts of the year, you keep the harvest in mind. Paul says in the same way, you need to keep the destination in mind. We're all going to our true home one day. Oh, what a great harvest celebration it will be. Let's not lose sight of that. Let that great kingdom come. As we do good daily, let's keep our hearts be steadfast. And when we do that, when we catch sight of that, that's wonderful. And then he talks about how God's family is wonderful. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, can be both so good to all people, especially those who belong to the family faith. We have friends out in New Mexico and in Hawaii. And this has been part of a story group that has been making masks for people to wear during the pandemic. And they were rejoicing recently on Facebook because they had together able to sell 800 masks for people that needed them. And they were so glad that they were able to do something beneficial in this strange time of a pandemic. And that sense of pregnancy, just doing the right thing, was enhanced because they were doing it at a crucial time. Paul says that sense of not doing good is always there, and when we do that, it's the brothers and sisters of Christ, it's easily a little sweeter. And we should take delight in that because the family of God is really wonderful. All these quirky people that we love to see, that we love to encourage, that are used by God to encourage us in our own life, that's a wonderful thing. And we should be grateful to God for our family, for our church family. And then Paul says, the good news of Jesus Christ is wonderful. He writes, may we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me, he writes. And unto the world, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. All that argument he's been talking about, he puts it side to side, and it all pales in comparison to the new creation. God's Spirit is doing in you and me. This is this Pentecost Sunday when we remember the gift of God's Spirit coming to stay in God's people. How sweet that is, that God right now is at work in your life, confirming you more and more to that image of Jesus Christ God has always had in mind for you. Confirming me to that image of Jesus Christ God has always had for me. That's the thing that matters. Take delight in the goodness of God's good news and God's transformational power as His Spirit comes to live inside us. Again, let's think about all of our blessings. When you think about the blessings, the good things in our lives, how does it make you feel? Now, I know it's supposed to make us feel grateful because that's where Paul's headed here in these verses. But sometime in this week, I noticed that I've been grateful sometimes. I've just been weary. Sometime this week I've been distracted. Sometime this week I've been annoyed. How am I right now? When I practice taking in gratitude and being grateful to God right now for all of God's good blessings in my life, when I practice that discipline of gratitude and give thanks to God. So Paul, as he wraps up this letter, is kind of like sending his kids off to college, sending the Galatians off to live the life of Christ there as they're separated from one another. Paul can't be with them at the moment, even though he would like to be, as he sends up this letter. But in this advice, he's giving us good instruction that we can live out in the 21st century to do good for imperfect people and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. To do good for goodness sake itself. Let's all try to take in that question. That's not a rhetorical question. Do I really believe that the restoration process is helping imperfect people, helping people who are broken, helping people that have messed up, restoring them? Do I think that that's worth it? Will I make that investment in my life today? And how am I feeling about helping people? Where is my heart and mind at this moment? And will I be grateful to God for the blessings I've received and give thanks to God for them? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these wise words, this good counsel. For someone who's a good friend to the Galatians and who's a good guide for us, Lord, help us to show compassion to one another and to rejoice in all the blessings you've given us. And Lord, if there's anybody that's here with us at this moment that is replaying in their head the old mistakes they made in the past, if there's anybody that is just feeling far from you right now, we into such a place of trust in you that they could look to you in faith and confidence and just say, yes, Lord. And if that's all you, if you would like to say yes to God in some deep way, but you're not sure how to begin that, I would encourage you to pray silently the words of a simple prayer I'm about to pray now as a way of telling God, yes. Here's the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm sorry about the wrong things I've done. Forgive me. Come to me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray.